Good morning. Welcome to this online service. My name is Ike Funk. I'll be the worship leader for this morning. We are into the third Sunday of our summer services, but due to COVID-19 issues, we still are not meeting physically at Zion. I want to give a special thanks to Ken Duick for loading these services onto our website, www.zionmainline.ca. They can be found under service recordings. Also, I've been putting these services on CDs. You can borrow them from the church library. By way of announcements, Pastor Lois is on holidays from July 7th to July 27th. We trust that this will be a time of relaxation, refreshment, and rejuvenation. Also, Grace will be in the office Thursdays and Fridays from 9 till noon. We are pleased this morning to have Sharon Schultz, pastor at Eyebrow Mennonite Church, bringing us the service this morning. The call to worship is a reading written by Craig Morton based on John chapter 4, verses 1 to 30 and 39 to 42. Every day the same well, the same thirst, the same jug every day. The jug upon my head, I walk back. At home, the coolness of the water soothes the throat, the skin, we live. But every day the same walk, to the same well, for the same thirst, with the same jug. Every day the thirst is there, from the day's awakening to the night's farewell to the light. And every day the same well, the same path, the same jug. Who is this Jew who asked me to give him a drink? A sinner? A vagrant? Someone lost? A rabbi? But he asked me for water. He asked me to serve him from Jacob's well, from the well for the similar thirst, from this jug. From water to thirst, from thirst to living water, he said, parched, bleak, empty, barren. He knew things no one else knows. We talked about husbands and mountains and worship and Messiah. The same well, by the same path, to the same water, with the same jug. The same jug. It always goes empty. I always return as thirsty as before. His first words were, "Give me a drink." Now my thirst is broken. I leave my jug at the well. It's not the same water, not the same path, not the same well. I leave my jug at the well. Let's pray together. God of all life, we thank you for the signs of your love that surround us, for sun and warmth, and all that comes to life within creation, for all that sleeps within the earth awaiting birth. We praise you for the wisdom of your care, water on the earth, sunlight on our spirits, hands on our blinded eyes. Continue to teach us. Reach out to us with compassion and forgiveness, that we may receive your gifts, that we may know your love and grace, and rise to new life in Jesus Christ. Amen.
our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
We've come to the time where we take our offering. You may write out a check and to mail it to the church, or else drop it off at the church office, or else you could also e-transfer. Instructions are on the church's website. Let's pray. God has shown us the meaning of generosity in the rich diversity of creation, in the overflowing love of Jesus Christ, in the never-ending gift of the Holy Spirit. God has abundantly blessed us and called us to be a community that honors each other, to be servants to each other with joy, to share our love and our material possessions. Let us rejoice in what we have been given and in what is ours to give. Amen.
I'm reading Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 14 from the Good News Bible. Let us give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for in our union with Christ, he has blessed us by giving us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world. Even before the world was made, God had already chosen us to be his through our union with Christ, so that we would be holy and without fault before him. Because of his love, God had already decided that through Jesus Christ he would make us his children. This was his pleasure and purpose. Let us praise God for his glorious grace, for the free gift he gave us in his dear Son. For by the death of Christ we are set free, that is, our sins are forgiven. How great is the grace of God, which he gave to us in such large measure. In all his wisdom and insight, God did what he had purposed and made known to us the secret plan he had already decided to complete by means of Christ. This plan, which God will complete when the time is right, is to bring all creation together, everything in heaven and on earth, with Christ as head. All things are done according to God's plan and decision, and God chose us to be his own people in union with Christ because of his own purpose, based on what he had decided from the very beginning. Let us then, who were the first to hope in Christ, praise God's glory. And you also became God's people when you heard the true message, the good news that brought you salvation. You believed in Christ, and God put his stamp of ownership on you by giving you the Holy Spirit he had promised. The Spirit is the guarantee that we shall receive what God has promised his people, and this assures us that God will give complete freedom to those who are his. Let us praise his glory.
Hello, my name is Sharon Schultz, and I'm really glad to be part of your service this morning. I have good memories when Eyebrow Mennonite Church joined you at Camp Elam for your camping weekends. It's always so good to join together in fellowship and fun together and to be encouraged around God's Word. Today I'd like to share a little bit about the Holy Spirit. I've called this message, I Belong to a Mighty God. And I want to start by telling you a little bit about my dad. I grew up in a little community smaller than Eyebrow in eastern Ontario. My dad was a pastor. He loved Jesus. He loved God's word, the Bible. This may seem strange, but even as a young girl, I really enjoyed listening to my dad preach. It seemed the word of God came alive when he spoke. Over the years, I've had many good theological discussions with my dad. We've shared new spiritual insights and truths of scripture together. I remember one time when I preached the same sermon 2 weeks in a row at different places. I told my dad how my message changed as I went over it to preach it the second time. He said, "That's because the Word of God is alive. You continue to learn more." My dad was very supportive of me going to college and to become a pastor. He always encouraged me and cheered me on. He died the end of August 2003, at the beginning of my last year of Bible college. It was disappointing that he wasn't there to see my graduation. I did well, and I knew he would be proud of me. But often when I'm reading scripture or a book, and I get excited about something I'm learning, my dad comes to mind. I can still remember quite clearly some of the conversations I've had with him and his words of wisdom. Now he's gone, but in a sense, he's still with me. And that reminds me of the Holy Spirit. I love Pentecost. I call the weeks after Pentecost the Pentecost season. And especially during this season, I'm drawn to learn more about the Holy Spirit. And I'm drawn to the book of Acts. Every year before Pentecost, I read a book about the Holy Spirit. As I read the Gospels and the life of Jesus, the book of Acts and the life of the early church, Paul's letters, and other books, I'm so aware of how important the Holy Spirit was to them as they lived for Jesus. The Holy Spirit was a vital part of their lives. And there are two things I've come to recognize that were a reality for them. First, the early church was centered in the good news of Jesus Christ, his life, death, resurrection, ascension, and their new life, living as people of the kingdom of God. And second, they experience the living reality of the Holy Spirit as a crucial part of their lives. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were joyful, bold witnesses for Jesus and the new life they lived. Today, the Holy Spirit can seem like the unnoticed, forgotten person of the Trinity. We don't talk about him as much. Maybe we avoid him because we don't really understand who he is. Which is interesting, because my dad told me he read some of Menno Simon's books, and they were filled with references to the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit can seem kind of strange. The Holy Ghost. But the Holy Spirit isn't a ghost. He's a person. He's God, one with the Father and Son, and he's very important and a very vital to us as well. We speak of the saving work of God the Father, revealed in Jesus, his Son, and worked in us through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the living, personal presence and power of God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord living in us. It's the Holy Spirit who continues to work in us, to transform our lives and make us more like Jesus. He causes his fruit to grow in us, the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The Holy Spirit enables us to live our lives for Jesus as God's kingdom people right now and until Jesus returns. And he gives us gifts that assist the church in its worship and empowers us to bear witness to Jesus. He softens our hearts and the hearts of others to hear the good news. We can't do it without the Holy Spirit. Today I want to share three things that got me excited about the Holy Spirit this Pentecost season. First, as I've already said, the Holy Spirit is the very living, personal presence of Jesus living within us. I remember conversations, words my dad spoke to me. I feel him near. In a much, much greater way, Jesus is actually present and he's with us in the person of the Holy Spirit. In John 16:7, Jesus tells his disciples, "It's for your good that I'm going away." How can that be good? Imagine being one of Jesus' disciples, actually talking and walking with him, hearing his stories, seeing people get healed. It would have been so wonderful. But it is good that Jesus went away. The Holy Spirit couldn't come in all his power until after Jesus' death. He couldn't come upon all followers of Jesus until after Jesus' work of forgiveness was finished, until after Jesus defeated sin and Satan and death, until after Jesus' resurrection meant eternal life for all who believe. The Holy Spirit couldn't come in a new way until Jesus gloriously ascended to God's right hand as King. Then Jesus' work on earth was finished. And then the Holy Spirit came in all his fullness. The Holy Spirit, who is the very living, personal presence of Jesus living within us. I find that so amazing. It's almost unbelievable that the very person of our God comes and lives within us. It takes your breath away. God has provided everything we need to live for him. And that includes the living, personal presence of God living in us, living in you, living in me. The Holy Spirit reveals the ways of Jesus and empowers us to live and serve and witness as Jesus did. Now, instead of Jesus walking those dusty roads between Galilee and Jerusalem 2,000 years ago with a few people, the Holy Spirit, the very presence and power of God, is the travel companion of all followers of Jesus. He's present with all of us. He's before us and behind us and in us. He's with us every minute of every day. Everything Jesus did for his followers, the Holy Spirit does for us. The very presence of Jesus was with us, and Jesus promised that he would never go away, and he didn't. He is still with us. And that's incredibly good news. Second, the Holy Spirit is a seal that marks us as belonging to Jesus. Paul writes in Ephesians 1:13, "You also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Jesus with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit." In ancient times, seals were used to guarantee ownership and authenticity and protection. Pilate put his personal seal on Jesus' tomb to protect the tomb and to warn people to stay away. A king would seal a letter with his own signet ring, guaranteeing it was genuine, it was from him. We do the same when we get a document notarized. Cattle may be branded to show ownership. A truck may be sealed to guarantee its contents aren't tampered with. In Ephesians 1, seal is a metaphor for the Holy Spirit. God marks us with the Holy Spirit as belonging to him. We are stamped, sealed, branded with the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. This one belongs to Jesus. You are a child of the King. I will be with you all through life until you see me in glory one day. And that's such amazing good news. I know people who are afraid of the mark of the beast that's talked about in Revelation. They're concerned they might accidentally get the mark. They try to figure out what it may be, and they have to be careful so they're not deceived. But you are already marked. We don't need to be afraid. Paul repeats it again in 2 Corinthians 1:22. He says, "It is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." If you've committed your life to Jesus and in faith are living for him, the very Spirit of God lives in you. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit. You can't see the mark, but God has claimed you as his own, and that's worth rejoicing. So first, the Holy Spirit is the very living, personal presence of Jesus living within us. And second, the Holy Spirit is a seal that marks us as belonging to Jesus. And last, the Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until Jesus returns. Paul writes in Ephesians 1:13 and 14, "You also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Jesus with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." Here, the metaphor is a deposit or a down payment. A few years ago, I hit a deer. SGI ended up writing off my car, so I had to buy a new one. I really liked my car, and it was so frustrating looking for a new one. I just wanted my old car back. Then Dwayne found an RVR just like my old one on Kijiji. It was 3 years newer than my old one, and it was red. So I went to see it, and I loved it. It felt like I had my old car back, only newer, and my favorite color, red. I put a down payment on it so the seller would keep it for me until Dwayne and I could pick it up a week later. I didn't completely pay for it. I didn't have it yet, but he couldn't sell it to someone else. I put a deposit on it. It was mine. The Holy Spirit is God's down payment, his guarantee in our lives that through the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, God's future has already arrived in the present. The kingdom of God is here. But the Holy Spirit is only a deposit, a guarantee of what is yet to come. He's a deposit, a small glimpse of the beauty and wonder and glory and greatness of what will be one day when we see Jesus face to face. Our inheritance is guaranteed. Jesus will return one day in all his glory, and we will live with him forever in a renewed heaven and earth. And what a glorious day that will be. Those verses end with the words, "to the praise of God's glory." God has blessed us. He's chosen us and adopted us as his daughters and sons. And he's marked us with his seal, the Holy Spirit, as a guarantee of what God has in store for us one day. All of this saving activity reveals God's character and his glory. He's a loving, saving God. And the work that he's done in our lives causes us to rejoice and praise him for his goodness and his love, to the praise of his glory. May we be even more aware of the active, living presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's like opening the windows on a warm, sunny day and feeling those gentle breezes blow in. Jesus did his work here on earth, depending on the power of the Holy Spirit with him. He returned to the Father, but he didn't leave us alone. We are knit together with Christ, led by the Spirit, and loved by our Father. If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit to do his work while here on earth, how much more do we need the Holy Spirit in our lives? May we open ourselves more and more to the living, personal, empowering presence of the Holy Spirit working and living in us. May we rejoice that we are sealed and guaranteed as daughters and sons of God. And may the Holy Spirit continue to transform us into God's kingdom people who live and demonstrate the grace, joy, hope, peace, and justice of God right here and now as we look towards our future hope, the glorious day of Jesus' return. I want to close with words of a song and a prayer from a book I recently read as a prayer of response, and I've just changed the word slightly so that it makes it us instead of talking about me. So let's pray together. Holy Spirit, living breath of God, breathe new life into our willing souls. Bring the presence of the risen Lord to renew our hearts and make us whole. Cause your word to come alive in us. Give us faith for what we cannot see. Give us passion for your purity. Holy Spirit, breathe new life in us. Lord, we are open to the Holy Spirit. Come to us. Dwell in us. Speak to us so we may become more like Christ. Lord, give us the courage to be open. Lord, we are open to the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Sharon, for sharing with us what God laid on your heart. May God bless you as you continue to minister at our sister church in Ivrel.
Thank you.
receive the benediction. It is taken from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P. All rights are reserved.